Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You aren't as loud as they're here.
They're outside.
We really had to talk loud this morning because everybody's standing so far apart. And so everybody's talking loud to one another, so then you even have to talk louder in order to hear somebody. It's all good. Yes, it's good to be together again. It's just, you can never say it enough times. And just on what Shannon was saying about Gene Enns, I look forward to his leadership at the college. And Gene is also, we all wear a lot of hats around here. And Gene is also on the planning committee for the 2021 convention in Edmonton that we hope is going to happen. And we had a Zoom meeting this past week. And my signature ain't going on there, but his is for signing with the hotel for $30,000 to begin with. And so we need prayer in that area. But what's happening is a lot of the companies and corporations that had to cancel their conventions and things and bookings with hotels are already booking for next year. And so they want our spot, but they can't have it. So anyways, the other thing I was thinking of too, and I know I've mentioned this before, but for those of you who remember my first wife, Hilda, Gene's wife, Marla, her dad and Hilda went to school together. You know, who would ever thought that little village of Youngstown, that this was going to cycle around? And, you know, it's just amazing. You never know what God's going to do. Yeah. You never know where God's going to place people. It's just totally awesome. But anyways, this is a good day. It was an awesome show last night in the sky, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I got up and made popcorn. I thought, well, as long as just watching this, we might as well enjoy this. And so we had some popcorn. That's good. It's all good. Amen. This morning I'm going to share with you on the good, great, and chief shepherd. One of the things about these days is we look so forward to seeing one another again. And, it's not going to be long before the hugs and the handshakes and everything can be happening again. And because we're made for one another. We're made to enjoy one another's company and to be together. And as I was thinking of that these last few weeks, I was thinking of someone who really wants us even more than we want each other. And that's our good shepherd. So I'm just going to share some simple things this morning about shepherding and about sheep, some of the reactions to it, the shepherd and the sheep, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. But I think we can learn some things today, just some basic things to take home with you to remember that the good shepherd is always good. So we're going to read very familiar passages of Scripture today. The first one is found in John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? May God bless his word to your hearts again this morning. I just want to interject something here for a second. I forgot to put the signs out, but if we can leave some spots out front again, I'll try and remember to put the signs up next week so that people like Jim and others can park there and be able to get into the church easier. Just kind of keep that in mind when you're parking next week. All right, back to the shepherd. Not much has changed. So often when people don't understand the move of God or anything that Jesus does, or like we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, they said, well, these guys are just full of wine. Now here they're divided again, and some, you know, some are saying, well, they, you know, demon-possessed person cannot open the eyes of the blind. You know, so they're divided again. And that hasn't changed much through the years. It seems like even if it's the gospel, the good news by the good shepherd, there's still some rejection happening there. One of the things that I want to point out here is twice we hear Jesus say he is the good shepherd. You know, Jesus never said idle words. And when he said something once, we need to listen. But when he says something twice, we need to listen even more. He's the good shepherd bringing us good news. And if it ain't good news, then it ain't gospel. And so he's a good shepherd. And I like that, that he is the good shepherd. Now we're going to come back to this text, but like I said, I'm going to share with you a few things about, just a few things throughout the scripture about the shepherds, about sheep. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, we first read about this, that Abel kept flocks. You can't get much earlier in our earth history than that. Abel kept flocks, and basically, or literally, Abel was a keeper or a feeder or both. Keeper, feeder of flocks. So the first thing we learn about shepherds from Genesis is that they are keepers. And if you're not a keeper, you're a loser. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, is a keeper. And Jesus is the good shepherd, and he will not lose us. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. Let that be an encouragement to you this morning, that he's a keeper. He's got your back covered. He's also got the front covered, and he's got us with his armor. It's all good. Another familiar passage of scripture is Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 6. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Again, I've read this many times, and I just like it when the Holy Spirit reveals something. Even if he has revealed it to you before, he reveals it fresh to you. And that's what I like about God's word. It's a living word. And so awesome to read it. Somebody asked me, how many times have you read through the Bible? It's like, I have no idea. I used to keep track, but I don't do it. Hey, I just find it really dry today.
Yeah.
You could have some water to move there. All right, here's a couple of things about this, that Jesus goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. He doesn't give up. He doesn't go just, well, I'll go for an hour and I'll find it. Well, they can figure out their own way back. He doesn't do that. He goes until he finds it. And so that leads it, and that's encouraging. Got any lost sheep in your family? Jesus is searching after them. Jesus is calling them. The Holy Spirit is bidding them. And I think that's just so awesome. If Jesus isn't going to give up on the lost sheep, we shouldn't either. Amen? And if you feel like a lost sheep this morning, we're not giving up on you, and God doesn't give up on you. He wants you restored. And so that leads me to the second thing about shepherds. When we wander or go astray, the good shepherd comes after us, and because weary and worn out, he carries us back home. The good shepherd knows. You know, it might be because of sin that you're wandering. It might be for whatever reason. But when you're wandering out on your own, he realizes this sheep needs to be looked after. And you'll notice that he says he leaves the 99 in the open field, but he carries the lost sheep on his shoulders, and he takes them back home. They need nourishment. They need nurturing. They need to be nurtured back to health. And you know, it kind of sounds like the prodigal son coming back home, you know? And then there's going to be a reaction to that. You know, the other brother wasn't too thrilled about what was happening there. But it says he brings it back home, and he calls his friends and says, rejoice with me. Totally awesome. God is a good shepherd, and a good shepherd looks after us till we're nourished back to good health again. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. And I think we've all had experiences in our life when we've realized, he is really a good shepherd because I didn't deserve this. You know, he could have said to that sheep, now get out of that thicket there or whatever and get back to the herd. That's not what he does. He puts it on his shoulders and carries it. I'm sure we have all been carried or felt that presence of God and the strength of God and the comfort of God when we didn't have it in ourselves to go home. He took us home. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. That's how much the Good Shepherd loves us. Another way to put it is, another scripture that I like because this talks about the good news. The writer to Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, that sheep didn't wander away anymore. When the shepherd came, he allowed the shepherd to put him on his shoulders. And we can go to the throne of grace, we can go to our shepherd, we can go with confidence, knowing that he's going to receive us. And when is our time of need? When our time of need is when we've gone astray, when we've wandered, when we've sinned. We can go back because the good shepherd of our souls, he wants us back. Amen. And he wants to give us mercy and grace. He wants to empower us to be who he's called us to be. So, you know, I mentioned in the first session too, I've been watching Andrew Womack, right? The talk in this past week on prayer, and one of the things he said with this COVID area, he says, you notice there's a lot of Old Testament prayers being said. And he said, you need to pray under the new covenant.
Yeah.
Because the old covenant is using, Israel had to come back, they had to change their way of doing things, their way of living, their behavior. And that's just dead works now. You have to come back under the new covenant and under the finished work of Christ, because it's all because of Jesus. And he gives us the strength and mercy. I don't know how else to explain it other than that he can explain it really well. But and I enjoy watching it. But that's we need to approach God under the covenant through Jesus, our good shepherd. Good shepherd. Now, the first time the word shepherd is used, it talks about Joseph. So we'll find it here in Genesis chapter 46. And this is where Joseph is lining up his brothers and his dad to come back or to come into Egypt with their flocks and things. And so he's telling the brothers, now, when you talk to Pharaoh, he's going to ask you some questions, what you do and all this kind of thing. So he says, this is what you should answer. Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as your fathers did. Then you'll be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Now, the word shepherd here, of course, it's a herdsman. So it could be cattle as well as sheep. But we know that they all had sheep and that they were shepherds. Now, there's many discussions as to exactly why the shepherds were detestable to the Egyptians. But shepherds often were identified with nomads. And nomads were of a lower class. And I think that's as good a reason as any, but there are other reasons as well. And so they wanted to answer Pharaoh correctly. But whatever it is, for whatever reasons, shepherds were detestable to Egyptians. But not only were the shepherds detestable, we read in Exodus chapter 8, verse 26, Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in our eyes, will they not stone us? So, a little fear of life there. But the shepherds, both the sheep and the shepherd are detestable, or they're an abomination, it puts it in some translations, to the Egyptians. And Egypt is a type of sin. And so there's still, nothing has changed over these thousands of years. The shepherd and his sheep are still detestable or abomination to many people today. And so it's just a little thought there in regards to that, that this is not a new thing if you get a persecution. Now the other thought is, of course, Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to read it, you guys know that, but I just think it's a good illustration of the good shepherd, how he loves and how he cares for his sheep. Because the good shepherd, it says in that song, he leads, he restores, and he guides. So you've got your good shepherd leading us, restoring us, guiding us. You got the sheep following. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So you got the leader, you got the sheep. And if the sheep get tired, if the sheep get weary, along come goodness and mercy to help us out. God's got us covered at the front. He's got us covered from behind. And he's got us covered in the middle. He is really a good shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The good shepherd cares about the lambs as well as he cares about the sheep. And we see the illustration of the good shepherd Jesus when he took the little children in his arms and he blessed them. It meant something to him. But you know, as he will carry the wandering sheep on his shoulders, he carries the children close to his heart. And I think that's so awesome. Jesus loves children, and for such are the kingdom of heaven. And we also see that the good shepherd does not push or force the young mothers, but he gently leads them. So, you know, if we were to go through all of the things in regards to shepherd or sheep in the Bible, you'd find that everybody's looked after. Young and old, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have ability or disability or whatever. God is there for us to help us, to nurture us, to give us life and give it to his fullest. Back to our original text, our founding text in John chapter 10. It says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It talks about the hireling. He don't care. He's just hired. He's just worried about his paycheck. So if the wolf comes, he don't care. What happens to the sheep? I'm out of here. But the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And that is so awesome. We see that he did that. It also tells us here that the good shepherd knows his sheep. God knows you. God knows the wandering ones too. And he's after them. And then the sheep also know the good shepherd. You know, to know somebody, you got to get close to them. And this is one of the things that's been I was going to say pain, but I didn't want to use that. This has been a trial for us because we like to be close to one another. And it's the same thing. We need to stay close to God. We need to be in constant contact with our Savior. You know, it talks about Peter when Jesus was being tried, that Peter stood afar off. When you stand afar off from God, there's not good things going to happen. And good things didn't happen to Peter that night. Be close to God. Stay close to God. Stay focused on him. Keep ourselves in close contact with the good shepherd. The good shepherd, it also says there, desires one flock and one shepherd. He said, other sheep that aren't of this sheepfold, I need to go get. And that's you and me as Gentiles. He came and got us so that we could have one fold and one shepherd, the good shepherd. So you say, what about the chief shepherd? What about the great shepherd? Here's the chief shepherd calling right now. Okay. I'm just about done. I'll just refocus here. Peter talked about the chief shepherd here. We'll just share the scripture. And then the chief shepherd appears. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The good shepherd is also the chief shepherd. There ain't no other shepherd like him. And we're thankful for that. And then lastly, we'll talk about the great shepherd. And this will be our benediction. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, He's there for you. We'll just do things in reverse, as usually happens in church. You're supposed to do the benediction after the prayer, but I'm going to ask you to stand and look, pray for you. Amen. Oh yeah, I can't wander too much. It's the trouble with being on camera. Stay put. Amen. Father, we just thank you again today for your love and your goodness to you. We thank you that you are a good, great, and chief shepherd. And everything about that you did was for us. And we're thankful. And we just love you back, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. You're the one that showed the initiative. And we thank you for that. And Father, we just pray for each person here again today. We thank you, Lord, if someone's feeling like a lost or a wanderer, that may they experience that touch of you. If they need to be carried today, Lord, just pray that you'll take them and comfort them and bless them and nurture them. And Lord, just pray for our families. We pray for our loved ones. We thank you, Lord, that you are searching. You're calling. You're bidding for love. And you're not giving up on them. So we're not giving up. And we just thank you, Lord, for a great harvest. We see what you're doing in the lives of some of these families today, Lord, and we are so thankful that where we see other stuff happening, we also see it turning to you.
Yes.
And we're so thankful, Lord, so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray. And we just thank you for each one here. May this be a week of prosperity in every way. Bless the relationships, bless the job site. In whatever way we need to be blessed, we just thank you that you're a God of abundance. Mm-hmm. And we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.